This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
BT and Sal back on the fan. All right, BT, couple of things here, a little bookkeeping for this week before we get back to the phones. Number one, pull your card World Series. Game 5, right?
Champagne's on ice.
Okay, but normally it is on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be the case because you will be doing the Johnnies on Thursday.
That's right.
So scheduled right now, Game 5, Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. Nice. I didn't realize that. Thank you.
Yes. Gonna have to let my bullpen know.
So
be ready.
Game 5 tomorrow, and then if necessary, Game 6 potentially Friday. We don't know. You're gonna do the show Friday.
I'm good Friday no matter what. St. John's wins Thursday. They play at night, so I'm here Friday.
So Game 3 of the Pull Your Card. Excuse me. Game 3. Game 5 of the Pull Your Card World Series tomorrow. 12:40 we usually do, or 11:40?
11:40.
Why do I forget this?
I usually do
11:40, but tomorrow you have 3 RQ.
Oh, right. So it's going to be 12:40. So it moves around. That's why. There's maybe no set time. It has. Hey, look, World Series got to get these games in.
That's
here.
Right.
We got the Johnny's Big Easter. We got to figure it out. So Game 5 tomorrow, 12:40. If necessary, Game 6 on Friday, which then would set up potentially, if necessary, Game 7 the following week.
And it will not be necessary.
I guaranteed a Game 6.
I know you did. I'm just saying Game 7 will not be necessary.
Okay, so you think there's a chance maybe I get Game 5?
No, I don't want to be overly confident because I blew a big lead last year.
You're rolling right now. The momentum
is with
you.
I'm doing all right. I want to be a humble champion. Let's get to the winner's circle first. But what years do we have left now? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, 87, 88, 89, I believe.
Starting to get to those years where you get a little bit better than me. I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Or at least we meet in the middle.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
87 was the year I took you out in the Game 7 of the World Series last year.
I malfunctioned at the end with that stupid Met pitcher.
Tim Anderson. I remember. That was great.
It'd be fun. Look forward to it.
The other thing is, did you watch any of the Seth Rollins match last night?
No, but I saw the clips on video this morning.
Okay. It was a good match.
Yeah, he did like a suplex from the cage.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Wow.
I happened to...
And Roman Reigns jumped in.
I did see that. He came in afterwards setting up some big thing at WrestleMania. By the way, SummerSlam's going to be here at MetLife, I believe. So maybe we get out to that.
Is it really?
I believe so. Hoff, is that right? SummerSlam is at MetLife this year?
Two-day event.
Two-day event at SummerSlam. So
I'm
MetLife.
Down.
Yeah, so
Saturday
we're
night's main event.
Out.
We'll graduate to the big one here. Let's go.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But, like, I'm not... It would have been cool to go to the Garden and Monday Night Raw, but I don't really watch the current stuff all the time.
No, me neither.
But because we had Seth on, and it was cool talking to him in studio yesterday, I was like, you know what, let me check it out. See this guy perform. He talked about performing with us. Mm. Go out there. He killed it, dude.
He did very well.
You should, if you get a chance, I don't know if it, because it's on Netflix, I don't know if you could go back and watch it. I'd be curious your take, like just watching his entrance and watch him.
I should watch it.
Work his craft and play the crowd and... Get in the ring and all. It was a great match for regular TV match. That was like a pay-per-view type match between him and CM Punk.
And with Netflix, you get a lot of F-bombs dropped around now. It's the language has changed a little bit.
Now that you say that, I'm wondering, I'm not bleeping it. I didn't do the math, but I'm like, wow, are we allowed to curse now on TV? I forgot.
Well, we can't. They can. Yeah. Again, I don't know what the move is called, but it's like basically like when you slam somebody's face in the concrete.
Yeah.
There were like three of those last night outside the cage.
Mm.
You know the move I'm talking about?
No,
I don't know what they call it.
Stuff your face into the concrete?
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called.
The concrete mesh.
Remember, not the DDT.
No, I love that. Jake the Snake.
Remember he laid out Ricky Steamboat with that
one? Yeah, well, I think he actually gave him a concussion that ruined his career.
Right.
And then the Honky Tonk Man.
With the guitar?
With the guitar that was supposed to be rigged, basically broke his neck because it wasn't really rigged.
I know, that's
And then he started going down the painkiller route, and it really, really ruined Jake the Snake.
Let me clarify. I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at you knowing all that stuff from all these old things that we watch. All right, BT, we mentioned the Johnnies in the Big East Tournament. Let's get to some midday madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Chris is in Bay Shore, wants to join the madness. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, how are you? BT, I think it's called curb stomping.
Yeah. I think that's something violent in the streets. I don't know if that's the actual name that they use in the WWE.
I've seen that in movies. I can't watch that. Man, that's bad.
Yep.
No, I just had a couple of things for you guys. I enjoy you guys when you have players on. I just think the Lindor thing. I think you kind of put him on his heels a little too early, and then you recovered. That's how it sounded to me. And again, it was a good overall interview. I thought you kind of started off a little hard on him. And then he kind of backed up a little bit.
Chris, let me just react to that. Listen, I mean, that's your opinion. I respect that. You could be right. You could be wrong. I would say this, that for us to have Lindor on, right, after all we've talked about with Lindor, about Lindor, like we had to at least create a thread of topics. Now, maybe it was a little early, but, you know, I mean, that's going to happen sometimes in an interview, and I was fine with it.
I get it. I get it. I thought maybe like a little praise sandwich, you know, starting off really honestly,
Chris, I thought I was starting out on a positive note. Like I said, the first question I asked was, what is your relationship? I didn't ask him about thumbs down. I said, what is your relationship right now after playing the song? And by the way, the song was like he was supposed to hear it, but by the time he got to the phone, the song had ended.
That probably would have changed things.
That's not our fault. The design of the interview was to start with his song and me saying, what is your relationship now with the Met fans?
Right.
And then when he says, well, it's great. It's always been great from day one. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it has? It factually is not. Yeah. It has not been. Like, that's proven. I didn't go through the history of all the examples, but, like, I don't know, Francisco, it wasn't good at the beginning. We wanted to love you, but in my mind, it was a positive thing that we were starting off at. So I understand maybe he was sensitive to it or didn't want to acknowledge it. That's fine. That's his prerogative. But let's not make it like Francisco was under attack to start.
No, I don't think it was an under attack thing. But when you ask him how the relationship with the fans is now, it means that, well, the way it is now wasn't like it was before.
But that's true.
It wasn't.
That's very true.
But, and that's what I'm saying. Like, starting into there.
Yeah.
But anyway, overall was good. I thought
good.
You know, if you guys handle well, he was great to listen to, even though he doesn't say much. But, you know, as far as the Giants go, I don't think it's even close. I haven't heard what these insiders are saying, but, I mean, it's got to be 75% Wilson, 25% Rodgers. I mean, I think they would much rather go with Wilson than Rodgers, no?
I don't know about that.
No, it seems like, Connor Hughes reported. He's talking about the Giants, right?
Said the Giants and Rodgers.
Yeah, the report from Connor. Now, again, Connor Hughes is one reporter, but it seems like the Giants, it's not just Connor Hughes, but he said Rodgers is their plan B after Stafford. Plan C would be Russell Wilson.
I thought he said from the fans' perspective. I may have misheard him.
I'm sorry, because
Connor absolutely has positioned Rodgers as a clearer target for them than Wilson.
And not just him. It feels like reporters are saying the same thing. Giants are going after Rodgers. So he was saying from a fan's perspective?
I thought, and if not, that's my mistake. But let's examine that from the fan perspective for a moment, because I think we have the intel on which way the Giants are leaning now, and that's obviously more in the direction of Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson for now. What do you think the Giant fans are thinking? I think that more Giant fans would want Rodgers than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Russell Wilson moves the needle.
Now, I'm not saying you dance into the altar for either,
But here's why I would, I don't want Russell Wilson either, but here's why I would prefer Russell Wilson. I think it's a quicker transition from Russell Wilson to Cam Ward.
If you get Cam Ward.
Okay.
You got to still trade up to get him.
Right, but then if they don't, like, I'm under the assumption that the Giants are going to draft a quarterback.
Okay.
And if it's not Cam Ward, whoever it is, there needs to be a transition to that young quarterback at some point this year for me to even think that it would be a successful year.
Why? Like, Mahomes didn't play the first year. Why does he have to play this year?
Well, I mean, I need...
You mean for their jobs, well, or because that's part of the evaluation?
I need to see what Shane and Dable can do with this guy. So now we're going to... Okay, let's say your scenario. And by the way, it's realistic that Rodgers comes here, plays every game.
Plays pretty well.
And then next year they say, okay, we're going to transition to Cam Ward.
They could.
And now Shane and Dable get... another year.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think best case scenario is win total for the Giants with Aaron Rodgers?
Schedule's brutal. They got some holes. They need some depth issues. They need some things. With Rodgers playing like last year or slightly better?
Better. Let's say the best of Rodgers.
7 wins?
Right. The best of Rodgers, even if it's 8 or 9 wins, like, that's great. What does that do? Okay, in the short term, it gives you a year to have, all right, some competent football, but long term, you still don't know about Shane or Dable, and you still don't have any questions or answers about your quarterback position. Like, that to me is not the right way to go about this year. So I would rather, okay, Russell Wilson start the year, ease in whoever the rookie quarterback is, eventually transition to the young quarterback and see what he could do with Shane and Dable. Not wins and losses, but how he looks and if there is hope moving forward. If it's not that, then I don't know what we're doing here. You're wasting time with another year of Shane and Dable.
We very well might be, but let me give you what could be. It's going to sound weird, but all right. So let's say they get Rodgers and they get Sanders. Let's just say those are the two.
Yeah.
All right. And obviously Rodgers starts, and I think it's, you can't predict a devastating injury, but I do think it's fairly unrealistic to think that Rodgers won't pull a hamstring or tweak a groin or a quad. Best case for those two men who are fighting for their lives out there with the Giants would be Rodgers plays well, Rodgers bags some wins to just kind of shut people up for, I don't mean like an inordinate amount of wins, but enough just to keep it competitive. And then, like, when he pulls a hammy for a couple of weeks, whomever they draft, Sanders or Ward, gets in there, doesn't play well enough to keep the job, but flashes enough for some of us to say, all right, it looks like they drafted the right guy, but because we're still fighting for a wild card, we're going to go back to Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean,
that's probably as good as, I mean.
It's not pretty. Rock is on Long Island. What's up, Rock?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey.
The problem is the Giants. It's just so desperate, but in my terminology, the way I see things is if the draft goes the way it goes and Cam Ward and Shador go 1 and 2, would it be so bad if the Giants took Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter at 3 and tried to grab Jackson Dart at 33 or even get aggressive and move up for Jackson Dart?
No, we've talked about that.
Be climbing the draft board.
That's fine.
And then get that quarterback to teach him
a
Rodgers. Or I would even go as low as a Marcus Mariota just to get a guy to teach him, you know, because Wilson and Rodgers is going to cost the Giants a ton of money.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Who's knocking the doors down for Russell Wilson? I don't know. If
Justin Fields got 20.
Nobody's really knocking the doors down for Russell Wilson, but I'm not really sold on him. I'd rather the Aaron Rodgers because I think he would be a better teacher to the next quarterback below him. I think he would learn a lot more off Aaron Rodgers.
If the Giants don't come away, see, here's, and thank you for the call, Rock. Good stuff. If the Giants don't come away with a top quarterback in this year's draft, I think this has been a disaster of epic proportions.
That's fair.
Unless they're telling me that they go trade for Joe Milton and they're selling me he's going to be the next guy, which even then, I still think you question it. But if they don't come away with a young quarterback that could be the next guy, it's a disaster. I don't care if it's Rodgers, I don't care if he wins 9 games. It is a mess for the Giants and their regime. They are in a bad spot right now.
I'm at the point where I would trade for Milton and I would draft somebody.
Yeah.
Honestly, strength in numbers.
Be better off. See, to me, that makes...
Patriots did it. Remember, they had 3. They had Brady, they had Garoppolo, they had Jacoby Brissett.
To me, that makes more sense than signing Rodgers. Like, what is the purpose? The only reason why a team should sign Aaron Rodgers right now at this point, just like the Jets did when they traded for him, it was to what? To chase the Super Bowl. Go win the Super Bowl. We think Rodgers could be the final piece, get us to the playoffs, and go have a chance at the Super Bowl. Steelers, probably same thought process. Hey, we're a good team. We needed offense last year. Rodgers, the best available option. Let's see if he can get us over the hump in the postseason. Maybe mess around and get us to a Super Bowl. What is his purpose with the Giants?
Stabilize things a little bit. Just stabilize things a little bit.
Did Rodgers do that with the Jets?
No, but that was undone by some of the worst coaching I've ever seen in my life and some of the worst discipline by the defensive players
Understood.
I've ever seen in the NFL.
BT, I'm not blaming him.
I know you're
but
not.
But he had an opportunity to stabilize things, and they were arguably worse with Aaron Rodgers than they were before he got here.
Having said that, if the kicker does his job, that's three wins you bank. I know, but that's important.
Yeah, but the Giants could have won games last year if they had a kicker.
No, I know, but Sal, what did the Jets go? I don't even four. Would they win four games?
Right.
I think it was four, right? Jeez, was it four? I'm going to go with four.
I don't remember.
I mean, either.
I gave up after week six, I think.
let's say it's four, right?
Yeah.
And let's say Zuerlein does his job against Denver in the rain, that 12-10 game, and you know, the Vikings game where Rodgers threw a lot of it. Like, there were other games. Like, if instead of four wins, it's eight, which is five, whatever five. it was. It easily should have been eight. Easy. I think the perception around Rodgers is even a little more favorable.
You think Muji and Glenn keep him if that's the case?
I don't know if everybody's fired if that's the case. Think about why Sala was fired. If Greg Zuerlein bangs that 51-yarder against the Broncos and they win that, that was early in the year.
Yeah.
Sala's probably not fired. And then if they win 8 or 9, then maybe Joe Douglas isn't fired.
Look, I'm not trying to knock Rodgers. You know I love him. I just don't see how Rodgers is going to benefit the Giants in any way, shape, or form. He's not Matthew Stafford at this point in their career. Stafford, I do think, would have elevated the Giants, made them respectable, and you could also count on having him for a few years down the road. That's not the case with Aaron Rodgers.
But I still think there's value, Sal, in having an adult in the building. And no disrespect to Drew Lock, he's not that good.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, where somebody like Malik Nabers can just have conversations. Now, we thought that this would apply to Garrett Wilson, and it didn't. All right, so maybe I'm just going down a track that makes no sense here, but I think the more you get Nabers and some of the younger, interesting players around somebody like Rodgers, they will benefit, even though he's going to be gone soon.
Let's continue the Midday Madness. Joe is in Centerport. What's up, Joe?
Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
Hello,
Joe.
Hello, Joseph.
Hey. All right, first time calling. BT, one thing for you before we get into St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong? Is your dad a retired police officer?
He was on the job, yep.
Okay, was that the city?
Yeah, a little bit of a few different spots. Yep.
All right, awesome. God bless him, man. I hope he's still around. And
he is. Thank God, he's in his early 80s, still playing golf. Not good golf anymore, but still playing golf. What's going on, buddy?
We don't live that long after retirement. So, and then Sal.
Yes. My father is dead.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, listen, Joe, when he drops that on you, there's nowhere to go. He's done it to me, Joe, and I'm his partner.
No, go ahead, Joe.
You're bringing me down, man. Come on.
Hey, you brought up. No, go ahead.
I tried to call in November, and I'm glad I didn't get through because, and now fast forward today, I appreciate how you have taken on talking about St. John's. You know, in the beginning in November, December, it didn't seem like, you know, you knew a lot, but that's okay. So I want to thank you for, you know, getting involved, talking about it, and giving us something to listen to. All right, wrap it up now. St. John's, BT, this is the year we have to do damage. I don't want to think about next year. I don't want to worry about who we're going to get to fill the holes. This is the year we have to do something. And I think I would love to see that final eight matchup versus Duke, if we can just keep the two or the three.
Joe, I'm with you, Joe. This is a very tough line for me to straddle here because I know the possibilities. And they can win a lot of games and go really far. Or they can lose the first game and the season comes crashing down. As Rick Pitino told us on our show when he joined us last week. By the way, free Odyssey app. Rick was great. I would say, because St. John's has been down so long, it's so easy, Sal, to say, we get this kid from this school, then we just enjoy the next game.
Yeah.
Enjoy being the number one seed in the conference tournament. See what happens on Thursday against the 8-9 matchup. They should get to Friday night. Friday night will be popping. Either way, you're going to be a two or three seed, probably up in Providence for the first round. And just enjoy it and push the envelope when you need to during the summer when the portal starts popping.
All right, ride this as long
just
as you can. And Coach Pitino said the same thing, like, hey, really next year is going to be the year where maybe they take that next step. But for now, anything is possible. And don't worry about next year now. Just enjoy the run.
Yeah, and I think most people are doing a good job of juggling that. Again, I get it. It's how do you not peek behind the curtain? It's been 35, 40 years. You're starving for a crumb. Understood. One thing that does worry me a little bit, and I don't think it's gamesmanship, because I was on campus yesterday to film the TV show with Rick, and I saw a little bit of practice. Davon Smith did not practice. And for those who don't know, he is their speed merchant point guard. Now, they've won a lot of games without him, including Marquette this past weekend. But with him, that's the kind of team that could win a couple of games.
Midday Madness with you on the phones, brought to you by Boost Mobile. When you buy 6 months on their best unlimited plans, Boost will give you another 6 months free. BT and Sal back on the Fan in studio. You never know, BT, who's walking around here. Last week it was Craig Carton. Obviously we had Seth Rollins. And yesterday, today, it's an honor to be joined by the new voice of the New York Yankees, along with Susan Waldman, Dave Sims. And you're getting set, Dave. You were just telling us you're going down to Tampa, first game tomorrow.
Yep, going down to Tampa tomorrow. Do a lot of recon on Thursday. Hey, I'm Dave Sims, new radio voice.
Nice to meet you.
Rush chairman. Yeah, right, that whole thing. And then first game is Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Got 7 games, 12 days, rock and roll.
Wow.
And then tee it up against Milwaukee.
Now, I first met you doing Big East basketball. Are you going to keep an eye on the Johnnies here across the TV?
Very excited. Yeah. You know, the last time I saw him, I did the Xavier game at the Garden.
Yeah.
I had him then, and I had him against Butler on campus where they shot 1-for-21 from three and still won the ball game. Love their defense. I love the tenacity. If they shoot well, they have a chance to go deep. They have one of those off shooting nights, they're in trouble.
It's a big hit.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I would push back a little bit, and you're not wrong. The numbers are what they are. I don't know if they have to shoot well. They just can't shoot horrendously.
Mm. We're talking the same language. Yeah, okay, I mean, it's
1-for-21 is not going to cut it against a good team.
I mean, 1-for-21, come on. But I like they cover each other. You know, they do their switches. They do them with very effectively with a lot of meaning to them. They want to shut you down from getting to the rim.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Four, the other day, the game they won the other day, Edgefor, I thought he did a great job posting up, and I thought they did for stretches. They didn't get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's open. He's got the guy in the hip. Give it to him. Let him operate. It didn't happen. So, anyway.
All right, where are we at with the
I'm keeping my chin up, but obviously I'm bummed out. I like Cole. I spoke to him, I won't say a lot, but when he was with Houston, when I was in Seattle, so we'd see Houston. Freaking hate Houston. But anyway.
good. Fit right in.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Good, really good dude. And I was talking to somebody this morning, Jason Stark told me this, that Booney told him, last year when he was out, when he got shut down, he came around. I mean, he's an alpha dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always around. Maybe not always, but when the guys were at home, he would be there. He would show up. He'd be present. He would take comments, questions, give advice. That's a big part of leadership right there. And I'm curious to see who fills that void. Here's the other thing. Let's catch the ball. Let's have timely hitting. Don't put it all on Judge. Everybody's got to contribute.
Yeah.
All right? And I hope the Will Warren kid, who's putting up good numbers so far.
Looks pretty good.
I hope Schmitty can do well. If you're Marcus Stroman, dude, we're trying to get rid of you the last time. Hey, good to see you. How are you?
We need you, buddy.
My man, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And he, he's a New York guy, and he gets it. And I met him years ago when he was at Toronto. And I told him, I said, listen, I do a lot of work with Coach K. I know you're a Dookie, my wife. Oh, hey, it hit it off. It was pretty cool. So,
well, I'm not too worried about the staff, even with, Heal and Cole's out for the year. The lineup, I mean, what do you envision to be the best version 1 through 4?
That's a great question. I know you guys talk about that a lot.
We do.
To be honest with you, whatever he put, just everybody contribute. Dominguez, it looks like he's got tools both sides. The outfield defense is...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sal's eyes just
went. Yeah.
So did mine. And he had God love him, he had a play last year when the Yankees came to play Seattle, that September series. He was playing at center field. It had to have been a Sunday afternoon. It was a high fly ball, left field, to his right, going to the gap. And he totally gacked it. I was like, dude, wow, how did he miss that? I mean, hey, we're all human.
Right.
But he had a couple plays like that, as you've seen here in spring training. And he looks like a kid. You watch that ability, and you see the potential. And it looks like an easy kid to root for. He's got some pop. He's got some speed. He hits from both sides of the plate. So, hey, it's a work in progress. You can't expect you're not going to expect a fully finished product at this point. We're going to watch him grow. And I think that's going to be the thing about this team. We're going to watch this team grow. Hey, we don't have a big dog over here. We got one left. We got one left here in Judge. We need Freed to step up now. I mean, here's a guy with 2 Tommy Johns. That scares me. And hopefully, that he's in this situation. He's been listening to Roger Clemens. He's been talking to Andy. That's a lot of information to disseminate and to soak up. And hopefully he's done a really good job. And I look forward to talking to him about that.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Dave Sims, voice of the Yankees, joining us in studio ahead of his trip down to Tampa, getting to call some Yankee games before the season gets started in just a couple of weeks. You, Dave, has been with the Mariners for a long time. You know the American League as well as anybody. Who do you think are the teams the Yankees have to worry about? Because part of our argument is like, yeah, the Yankees get hit by injury, but the American League stinks. Do you view it that way? Who's the big threat to the Yankees?
I don't think the league stinks, but it's certainly not dominant. And, Boston's got its pitching woes. I mean, the Brian Baio kid, who's really good, he's out. And what's the kid's name? Cutter Crawford, he's out for a while. The offense, I think those boys are going to swing the bat pretty well. Bregman's got some ridiculous numbers in Fenway. Like
his OPS like 1,100.
Yeah, like 375 batting average. And only 2 and change, like 202 here at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. I was told by... a very good source. I about 2 months ago, I said, any chance that the Yankees you bring me, he ain't coming.
Mm.
It ain't going to happen.
They tried and he wouldn't come here?
He wasn't going to come here.
Now, what about Arenado? Can we get him? We need somebody third.
I thought that was going to be a layup.
Me too.
I
thought it was going to be done months ago, Dave.
It's not my money, but in terms of a guy who's a, 10 gold gloves, all out effort dude all the time, and he's got some pop. I mean, he fits the bill, and that shores up the defense. And I thought that was going to happen. So now, Peraza and Cabrera, hey, boys, show me something.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I know Arenado had a down year offensively last year, but I look at Goldschmidt. He had a bad first half, great second half. too much pride, man. That dude's going to be ready.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I fully expect him to be very good this year. I'm not going to put numbers on him. I'm just going to say he's going to be a big contributor, and I like that.
I tend to agree. Little sidestep with the Yankees here. So those who don't know, Dave was one of the midday voices back in the day, 89 to 93. Is that
I
correct?
Love this.
93,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You started with Coleman and the Soul Man?
I hated that. Larry Kenny put that on me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest voiceover guys in the history of the business, and he was on Imus's crew. And Ace always, they would always, you know, it's Imus. I mean, of course, they're breaking their chops all the time.
Yeah.
And one time, something happened, and Dove might remember better than I do.
No, Dove remembers nothing. We ask him all the time.
But he said, Coleman, so I said, I don't reference that. I dig the fact that you got Eddie's one of the all-time great dudes. Boston Irish. I'm a black
Love
kid
Eddie
from Philly.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying.
Okay.
All right, so I put up the, you know, call off the gym, like in roller derby.
Yeah.
I'm not buying. Not buying at all. Don't like it. Don't do it.
Okay, well.
And they still did it?
They didn't do it in promos, but, you know, in the ball-breaking process of Imus, of course they were going to
say. Oh, so it was not the official name of the show? All these years, Dave, you know, I misinformed them because I just assumed.
I thought it was, too.
That was the name of the show with you and Ed.
I never called it that. Eddie never called that. Hey, it was Ed and Dave, Dave and Ed.
Wow.
So there was never like, you know, the I'm going back to the jingle.
No.
Really? I was
the only
misled.
Thing so Soul Man was the first, and Dove, you probably remember this. You played Sam and Dave's Soul Man. That's the song.
I'm
you'd
a hear soul the open, man.
You'd hear that the, one? Oh, you know, the guitar riff, right?
Okay.
Remember that?
Eddie C., that must have been a trip. You and Eddie C. having some fun in the early days,
Eddie,
huh?
You know, and
I love him.
He's a good dude.
Oh, my God. He's such a good
dude. Were both of you guys single at that point? Because if you were, I'm sure you had a couple of good nights out.
No. I was happily married. I still am. 42 years.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
But Eddie eventually did get, he got married shortly thereafter. I remember going to the wedding. You know what was interesting? I think, I'm not going to name names, but I think certain parties wanted that to be a black-white kind of thing.
Okay.
Where there'd be some polarization, there'd be a lot of disagreement, and there'd be a lot of fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eddie's only a year or two older than I am, so our reference points are damn near the same. And a lot of other things are the same. So we agreed on, I don't want to say we agreed on everything, but I think we had a fair eye on everything. And we did talk about the major sports, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. But we love talking to the college coaches around, college hoop coaches.
Yeah. The locals, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wagner.
There's stories.
I
PJ
hear
was at Wagner. Then he went to Seton. No, actually, he was already at Seton Hall at that point.
By 89, he was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I knew him from there.
Yeah.
And I remember Calipari was just getting started at UMass. And I remember Dover, whoever was engineering, says, hey, we got John from so-and-so. Hey, boys, it's Calipari. And we talk hoops. Yeah, I'm on a recruiting trip. Paul Pasqualoni, the football coach at Syracuse. Yeah, I'm listening to you guys. You know, I'm going back up to Connecticut. Do a little recruiting here. Hey, I disagree. Or one time, I think, I was at WNBC one time in sports night. We got in a hockey conversation. And the beauty of being at this station and doing this kind of gig. Now, this is before FAN, before FAN. But Phil Esposito called up. I met him on a couple of occasions, liked him, we hit it off. Davey, no, you got it wrong. This is why I'm doing this. And it was great.
You got to set you straight, Phil, Dave. Hey, you better hope Cashman doesn't call
Phil,
you up and say, hey,
you know,
boom, let's get it straight here, Sims.
He's got my number. He knows where I am. He knows.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, Phil Esposito, I'll never forget. I was, you know, Phil was just a great player. What a vivacious personality kind of.
Yeah, those are the best. I reference 89 to 93. Do you remember, like, what was the biggest story?
Oof.
Like, what was it? Was it Pat Riley coming at the end of that? Was it?
Yeah, that last year, Riles came in. 89, the Yankees were struggling. They
awful.
Had, but they had, didn't they? That was Ricky, Winnie. Mattingly.
Ricky was traded. You know, Donnie was hurt, and they were bad.
And the pitching wasn't very good.
And the Mets were at the end of their, I don't want to say dynasty, but the end. That was the Jeffries years.
Yeah,
were you there for the Jeffries stuff?
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Oh, they
remember
they abused great Jeffries.
Yeah. Or didn't he fax in the letter to fan or something like that?
Yes.
That might have been after I left. That might have been in 93.
He definitely did tell.
Yeah. That was,
but you had
the Knicks were decent.
You had prime young Ewing. You had young Patrick.
Yeah, and Mark.
The big fella.
Mark Jackson was at the point.
Rookie of the year in 87.
Johnny Newman, Jay Newman.
The before?
Jay New.
Who followed? Oh, yeah.
Was it Mike and the Dog?
Imus in the Morning,
right.
6 to 10. We did 10 to 1.
Okay.
Bill Mazur did 1 to 2.
Oh, Mazur, yeah.
And then 2 to 6, Mike and the Dogs.
Wow,
to
6:30. Okay.
And then summers after games.
Hello.
And even before that, and Breen, of course, was on the Imus show.
Yeah.
When we were at WNBC, 86 to 8, I was there 86 to 88. Breen was my producer, and he would do stuff. And Mike's great. And God bless him. He's in the Hall of Fame. He and Dom Trinale, I had a great crew over there. And we were on 7:30 to midnight when there were no games. So we had to get guests. And we usually would do a half hour, the first half hour, 7:30 to 8, like, open phone New York, here's the number, 9, that whole thing. And then the last hour we do open phone. Matter of fact, I was on the air when, the Dodger executive said that.
On Nightline. With Ted Koppel.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember sitting there, and I'm talking to a guy about, I think the playoffs were going on, Detroit.
About African-American executives.
Al Campanis.
Yeah, Al Campanis, there
and
you go.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm answering a question, and I see something on top, but I didn't think of it. And then a guy calls up, I think the late, great Bruce from Flushing, and he says, Dave, he says, you need to listen to this. Al Campanis talking about blacks don't have the necessities I would.
What he said. And I think he said it twice. I think he went back to it.
Absolutely, because Koppel said,
try to give him.
And he was like, here's the rope. Here's a life, a life raft, and he wasn't buying it.
Well, he took the rope. He just stuck it around his neck
and
pulled it.
And jumped off the pier, I remember that. We had a lot of great moments. I've got great memories of working here at FAA.
So happy for you,
Very excited for you. Did you, last one on this one, because I'm a nut, like, I love this fan history.
I could stay here all day and do
this. You ever cross paths with the young Ian Eagle behind the scenes back then?
I was doing Temple, when I got here in 89, I started doing Temple football on the radio down there in 90. Ian was a desk assistant or whatever, We used to talk, and I'll never forget coming back. And I said, you know what? I love this job at FAN, but man, doing play-by-play is the bomb, man. He said, I couldn't agree. And we would violently agree on all this stuff. And now look at him. He's killing it. God bless. He's doing a great job. He's going to be doing he's the number one guy on the tournament
coming up.
So he replaced Nance.
You still talk
great
to him?
Guy. You know, our careers and our timelines are parallel. So, I spoke to Gus Johnson about two weeks ago. He said something funny, and I called him. I was giving him some crap for the text.
Gus is great.
Yeah.
He got skinny. Gus, less
I said,
15
I even
years
asked him. I said,
skinny.
Dude, you all right?
I asked him too once. He looked too skinny.
But I've only met him in person once.
That's it?
We're going to, 2012.
Wow, when he was at the Garden.
And our schedules run parallel. So I don't see a lot of guys.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And but that's the thing Susan and I always talk about for 18 seasons. I'd see her twice a year, but we go way back, and she would say something, John would say something, and I'd stick a needle. And she says, I just heard from Dave Sims. And he's like, hey, giving it back to you, John. One of those kind of deals.
His way to jump into John's chair when he's done, right? Well,
man,
keep it warm, Johnny boy.
I didn't say anything like that.
You didn't have to.
but it was like, I know John since 77 when I covered the Nets.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was back from Atlanta by that point? Was he?
Oh, yeah. He had been back.
Okay.
And,
man, I love this stuff.
Islander, he did a good job on hockey.
Did he really? Did he have these crazy, wacky goals?
I just remember Islander. Well, I didn't listen to a lot of hockey during that time, but he was into it.
And, wow.
I'll never forget this. I was at the Daily News, and the writers then, we sat at midcourt. And John and the Kevin Lockery and the Nets bench was to our left. And every now and then, I'm sitting, I got to write during the game as a Daily News, a morning AM. And John would stand up and have a cup. They're going to run an LA 23 for soup because he just heard the play call from Kevin Lockery, and LA 23 for soup. Nobody knows what the hell that was, but it was just so funny. And he would do it standing up.
He stands
up.
Makes it official.
The late Mike Weber and all the writers. Hey, John, take it down a notch, will you please?
Is this like Otis Birdsong and Jaminski, or is this,
after Mike Newlin.
I don't know that name.
Oh, look up Mike Newlin. Mike Newlin had some good years.
Really? I remember 82, 83, the first Nets team, just based on my age.
Super John Williamson.
Super John was before
Bernard
me.
Bernard King had
of
a little bit.
Yeah.
Buck
Williams.
Hawkins.
Buck Williams.
Buck, love Buck Williams. Albert King.
Number 52.
Bubbles Hawkins.
Yeah.
George Johnson.
Otis, as I said. Otis Birdsong was good. He was a good ball player.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was.
He had range. And yeah. Just before the three.
No, three came in 79. So this is after it. Yeah.
You excited to get going here with Susan?
Yeah. You know, I've seen Susan at, you'll appreciate this, at the Italian American Baseball Federation banquet up in the Bronx.
Okay.
Then I saw at the New York at the Baseball Writers dinner, and then we were here for Meet the Announcers about a month ago, maybe not even a month ago.
And I'm assuming you're going to be down there in Tampa together, right, Susan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our flights probably land at the same time, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm psyched to be with you guys. Psyched to be back. Part of
congrats,
the fans.
Welcome back home.
Amen, brother.
That's awesome.
We'll talk to you during the season.
Please, look forward to it.
Get the latest and greatest on the Yanks. Bet. Good luck, Dave. Hey, we're looking forward to listening to you.
Plenty of BT and South shout-outs on the broadcast, okay? Don't forget, Dave. Rule number one.
You have to listen closely now.
Yeah, I do. He does it. I do.
There you have it.
I may sneak one in.
Yeah,
there you go.
Have it. Dave Sims. Make sure you check him out. Go to Tampa this week. And, of course, we'll have the games on the fan along with Susan in the spring and Get Set BT 2 weeks away. That was the call of the day. Dave Sims, our call today, brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
How great is that, man? 35, 40 years ago, he's sitting in this different location, but, you know, the symbolic same studio, talking about Pat Riley and Buddy Harrelson and Don Mattingly's back and Gary Cardon's last wheels, and now he is the voice of the Yankees.
I love the history of the stuff, and I know maybe that's like inside radio stuff, but also I learned something today. I assumed that the name of Dave's and Ed's show was Coal Man and the Soul Man. I did not know.
I thought it was officially
that was some
I'm with you.
Ball busting thing that I was created.
I didn't know it either. And listen, sometimes things can get too inside. Something like this, I don't think you can. I think you talk about the history of the fan. I think people who are old enough, I think they really enjoyed that.
BT and Sal back on the fan. A few minutes to go here, BT. Let's talk to some Giants fans. That has been a big theme of the day. We started with Justin Fields, and we talked about the Giants quarterback situation. Gave you all the updates on Daniel Jones, on J.J. McCarthy. Jones with the Colts. McCarthy going to be the starter with the Vikings. Also had Francisco Lindor on. Check that out. Anything you missed on the free Odyssey app. Dave Sims, of course, just in studio a few minutes ago. Mark is in East Brunswick, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, man, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Two quick ones if I could. I mean, any quarterback option in the draft this year is a total settle because they could have had Penix last year and they passed on him. And I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers drop back and every time he's pressured, throw the ball into the dirt, right? The best available talent, upside talent that the Giants needed going into the combine was Travis Hunter and Justin Fields. They had the chance to get Fields twice. They passed on him. Now they're in no man's land. There is no real option for them at this point that I can see. They had their options, good ones.
Yeah.
And now they're left with, you know, another gamble, which is second compared to what they had a choice of last year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up, Mark. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, that was really the point I want to make. I'll hang up and hear what you have to say.
I got you. Thank you, buddy. I don't know why the Giants weren't a little bit more aggressive going after Fields. Now,
they didn't like him.
Yeah, I guess it's as simple as that, right? But if I'm Fields and there was similar interest expressed by the Jets and the Giants, and maybe this applies to everybody in addition to Fields, if the Giants had interest, like what's appealing about the Giants outside of getting a few bucks right now?
Yeah, I don't think
really.
I don't think it is appealing. It's why I think ultimately Rodgers, when he makes his decision, probably tomorrow when free agency officially begins, I think he's going to choose the Steelers. Because why would you take the Giants over the Steelers? I'm not trying to disrespect the Giants organization.
Yep.
Love their history, but It's not a good situation. You got a lame duck head coach. At the very least, it's a lame duck head coach. There's no identity on this team. They're in a bad division, a tough division to win, especially now with the Commanders taking a huge step forward. You get the Super Bowl champs, the Cowboys, if they get Dak back healthy, like they are clearly the worst team in their division. There's no way out. I just don't, unless you're looking for a job and an opportunity to start. Like, if you have better options, you're not picking the Giants.
Yeah, and it's not like you look at the Jets as this, you know, there's some bastion of football civilization, but compared to the Giants, you're like, okay, new energy, new bodies, new decision makers, longer leash. I mean, really, right now, and the Jets are almost never really compelling or appealing. Right now, the Jets are a lot more compelling and appealing than the Giants.
Blake is in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Blake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
Okay, so quick points about the Giants. I mean, the way I see it, I mean, I've heard it before from, you know, sometimes you guys mention it, sometimes other folks have mentioned it, but I think you go out and you sign Aaron Rodgers. I think you try to get Aaron Rodgers if he wants to come to the Giants. You know, maybe he's got some motivation trying to. I don't know if he wants to come here. I have no idea. Maybe he's got some motivation against the Jets. I think you try to bring Aaron Rodgers in, and I think, you know, you got to draft one of these quarterbacks. I mean, I would say a three. I wouldn't move up. Maybe Cam Ward falls to you. Maybe Shedeur Sanders, whatever, one of those three quarterbacks, and hopefully you pick the right one. That's the only way to get out of this rut.
Right, that's the point, Blake, and sorry to cut you off, but the music is playing. That means we're out of time. They need to draft one of these three quarterbacks. That's really all that matters. Whether Rodgers comes here or not, or it's Russell Wilson, ultimately the only thing that really matters, at least to me, is that the Giants draft their next quarterback.
You can't keep punting. I mean, you got to get a quarterback in here. A young one.
All right, fun show today. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. Great job, Hoff, getting Francisco Lindor on. It was well worth it. Go back and take a listen. Thanks to everybody who listened and who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.